Welcome to Your Gospel here on Gospel for Grampian. Your Gospel is all about making sure that wherever you come from, you'll be able to hear the Gospel.
Your Gospel in Mandarin.
神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。
Your Gospel aims to make the Gospel available in languages from around the world. It's taken from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Look out for more from Your Gospel at the top of the hour every hour on Gospel for Grampian.
Listen. g4g.org.uk. If you'd like to catch up with our podcasts, then it's podcast.g4g.org.uk. Thank you for listening.
Unity of response, bringing together believers from all denominations to live, love, and serve together, responding to the needs in their communities. Unity of Response is a global vision. Gospel for Grampian, the Gospel for Radio Network, is to be a local vision for each area and community to engage, equip, and enable communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre, and bringing together churches, believers from all denominations, so demonstrating the Gospel, so enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre.
A very good evening to you. This is Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Now, this evening, yes, yesterday it occurred to me that we've been thinking something about the names of God. Jehovah Nissi is the Lord my banner, and it comes from a time when Moses, after he had seen how Joshua had defeated the Amalekites. Now, the whole situation of this was that Joshua was the commander in charge of the army of Israel, and they were fighting the Amalekites. Now, Moses was sat up on a hill, and he actually had his hands held up, and as long as his hands held up, Joshua was prevailing against the Amalekites. But when, even because of tiredness, Moses took his hands down, the Amalekites were winning. Now, Moses' hands were kept aloft. He was able to sit down, and he had Aaron to fight, to hold his hands up. They did hold his hands up, and Joshua was able to successfully fight against the Amalekites. Why? Because Moses, in particular, was trusting in God. And God was able to change the odds. God watches everything that we do. And he is like a banner over us. And when we trust him, especially in prayer, that's when God comes through. After this fight against the Amalekites, which we can see in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner is translated as Jehovah Nissi. We can see many examples in Scripture of how God comes through and His presence is like a banner. Now, a banner in history was even thought of as a flag, as a standard telling about a king or an army or a commander. And when we put our trust in God, God will set his standard over us. And in Matthew chapter 28, we read about Jesus addressing his disciples, go out into all the world, make disciples of all nations. And then he finishes up by saying, be sure of this, I'm with you to the end of the age. With us, that is, in spirit. And it's when we trust in that, that we find out that the Lord really is our banner. Now, why am I talking about this? It's because we're about prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is something that God asks of for us to do. And when we pray, we are talking to God. We are putting our trust in and believing God to come through for us. Jesus often prayed aloud to God, often with loud cries. Moses cried aloud to God, and God answered him. And it's when you get that cry from the heart that God can come through. In Psalm 60, verse 4, we read, but for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. A banner, in this case, a flag or standard to be unfurled. And so people see that bow, that ship coming, and they know that there's an important king, there's an important commander. There were many people throughout the Bible who put their trust in God. Elijah did, and later on, his servant Elijah, he put his trust in God. In 2 Kings verse 6, verse 17, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and Elisha prayed, this is referring to his servant, because his servant had looked and had seen an army that was encamped around them, about to attack. And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so we are reminded that God is not just a banner, and he doesn't just change the odds for us, but he has a whole army. Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts. So it's not just about a banner. It's about much more than the banner. It's about the person of God who the banner represents. We're talking this evening and praying about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. And I think the scripture we've just read out from 2 Kings 6, verse 17, where Elisha prayed. Elisha had been the servant of Elijah, who's well known in the Bible, and Elisha also became well known. And he had seen Elijah's exploits, and he knew of them. And he had asked of Elijah a double blessing of Elijah's spirit. And I think he got it. Because Elisha was then filled with such faith in God that he was able in his heart to know that whatever things may have looked alike, God was more than able to counter it. Even when there are situations coming at you right, left and centre. And things don't look very good. And you may wonder where God is in all of this. I'm going to pray right now and say, Lord, open their eyes. Open the eyes of their heart that they might know and have peace and know that you, Lord, are God. You, Lord, are encamped around. You are Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. You are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. You are Jehovah Makodeshkem, the Lord my sanctifier. You sanctify, you are there for each one of us. But we need to put our trust in you and believe that you can. Help us, Lord God, especially in our weakness as humans. And I pray for all those who are struggling with their Christian faith right now, that they would have the peace in their minds and the confidence to realize that whatever it may look like, you are indeed camped all around. You see other people, you see their hearts, you know what they're doing. You know our hearts instinctively. And you, your word says, are able to frustrate the plans of the nations, the plans of the people. In Isaiah 11 verse 10, which says, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. So we're starting to see pictures of God, of a living God who comes through for his people. And he will. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us once again in our weaknesses. And I pray, Lord, for all those right now who are not yet Christians, who even have decided in their hearts that they are not and would not ever. But yet, Lord, these very people, though they may try to hide from it, are facing difficulties on every side. Daily frustrations, but also things that they think they can fix. And yet, Lord, as your word says, you frustrate the plans of the people. Lord, you want each one of us to come to you. Each one of us to discover you in a special way and realize that, Lord, we can't do without you. Amen. We also find out in God's word that as much as anything else, and particularly, God's banner over us is love. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. It is a prayer, but then that prayer was answered by God. For in John 3:16 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So we know from this scripture that this prayer has been answered by God in person through his Son Jesus. Jesus came as a demonstration of God's love. He came even as a living banner to demonstrate God's love, to demonstrate the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And just like that banner that we spoke about, if you imagine a banner that is intricately decorated with bold, amazing colours and a very profound message. A banner that demonstrates God's love. A banner that demonstrates Christ's sacrifice, the salvation. A banner that demonstrates God's presence. A banner that demonstrates the very person of God. And that person of God made possible through Jesus Christ, who was and lived on the earth. We started off this Power Hour by thinking of Exodus 17, verse 15. And I thought it would be an idea to actually read from Exodus as this will indicate how good God is. Water from the rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from the place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarrelled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" From verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll, as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner," he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. And so we see two cases in chapter 17 of Exodus. where the Lord worked for Moses and for the Israelites. And as long as Moses put his hands up, almost in a way of praising God, God was on their side. Moses had to do something, but God came through. Moses had to strike the rock, God came through. A little bit later in Exodus, Moses did disobey God, and he, instead of obeying God, he still struck the rock. But God had said, speak to the rock. So a lot of this comes down to faith, comes down to obedience, it comes down to trust. How much do we actually trust God? How much do we trust that God is the God who he says he is? How much do we trust that God will come through for us in our particular situation? Many people would say, these things were written in the Bible. These things were stories. How do we know that God will actually come through? And yet there is a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in actual fact, I have to testify and tell you that God is good and God has come through. He came through for me, even in these modern times. He's come through when people trusted him. In fact, during the war years, when there was the German occupation of many countries in Europe, there were Christians there. They formed quite often part of the resistance. And there was a man there called and he smuggled Bibles into several countries around Europe. And it really is quite amazing what he managed to do. He managed so many times to evade the Roman guards. His name is Brother Andrew. I was searching for the name just now, listeners, but his name is Brother Andrew, and he evaded the Roman guards. He relied on God to come through for him. And in just the same way, I can tell you, listeners, that God has come through for me on so many times when I've not been very confident. But it's when you're not confident and you put your trust in God and he does come through for you. He came through for me when I was looking out for a job, and when a job came up in Aberdeen, God gave me the favour. He went before me and enabled me to get through the interview and get the job. I wouldn't say I did a particularly good job in the interview, but I got the interview, I got the job nevertheless. God's come through for me on so many times as well. Even when it meant, even when I was unemployed and didn't have enough, or didn't think I had enough, and putting a £10 into a collection plate at church, and trusting in God for the rest. Not quite sure how I got through things, but I did. And a few days later, there was a cheque coming through for £300. And yet, God works through in different ways like that. That £300 was most welcome, and I didn't think I would get it, or certainly nothing like as much as that. God comes through in different ways, and he's been with me in just so many situations. For any listeners listening to this, you look back and you start counting the ways in which God has come through for you. And then write them down. And don't be silent. Tell other people what God has done for you. Because your testimony is like a banner. We're talking this evening and praying this evening about banners. We're thinking about the person of God, who's represented by many names in the Bible. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And this is what Moses said about God after Joshua had won against the Amalekites and God had altered things, altered the whole course of the battle so that the Israelites won. And each time you have a good experience of what God has done in your life, be ready to write it down. Be ready to thank God, because that testimony does act like a banner. It tells people of God's love. And I can tell you, listeners, that God has been extremely good to me over the time. He has given me wonderful family. He's given me a wonderful wife, parents-in-law, parents, brother. He's given me wonderful trustees, wonderful colleagues to work with, wonderful friends. I can testify to all of that. Because at one time, I can say that I wasn't really much good at all. But God has lifted me up. God has lifted me out. And he will do the same for you. When you trust him. Having God as a banner, it demonstrates God's love, the very person of God over ourselves. It demonstrates the heritage. It demonstrates who we are in Christ. And I'm reminded once again of John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And later on in John, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see Jesus as a bit like that banner. Jesus came to show the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And it's his spirit that goes before us. And the truths that we read throughout the Bible are still applicable in our lives today. I've told you about just a few things. Now, if you're a non-Christian, if you are listening to this and you don't know Christ as Lord and Saviour yet, you've heard me urging people to be willing to give a testimony of what God has done for them. And I pray that many people will. Don't be afraid to be bold and go to a person who you know to be a Christian and ask them about their faith. Particularly ask them what God has done for them. Yeah, they'll put them on the spot, but it'll also get them to tell you about the wonderful things that God has done for them. Each person's story is different, but each story is like a separate banner in itself that points the way to what God did for us and what God continues to do faithfully for each one of us. Read through the entire book of Exodus and you'll find that it's one miracle after another miracle. The Passover in itself was just one, but all the plagues that went with it, the provision of manna and quail in the desert. Then skip to the New Testament and you again read of miracle after miracle. Where you got the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, the raising of Jairus' daughter, the lady who touched Jesus, the hem of Jesus' robe, and was healed. The blind men who came, the man or men who were living in the tombs and were possessed by demons, and Jesus healed him or them. Some versions of the Bible, the Gospels, refer to more than one man, but I think it was to do with the number of demons inside. But whatever happened, there was a healing there in all those cases. Every Christian will have a testimony, a story. And that story tells us about the wonderful goodness of God. Now I'm going to pray just now. Heavenly Father, it seems we've rambled on a bit at length, but we've been thinking about banners. And I pray that all the things that the listeners have heard or listening to on our podcast, that they will think about these things at length and realize that each one of us can be a part of your plan. A plan to bring love, a plan to bring the gospel, and to step up to that responsibility. A plan to be part of your banner, the banner that is over us, that is love. Yes, plan to be part of that. Each one of our lives is perhaps even a separate element of that particular banner which people see. That standard, that picture, that fruit. Help all your people to live up to that which you've called each one of us to. I pray, Lord God, that for those looking from the outside, that you, Lord, would use our lives to speak to these people. Many of them have been through situations which are indescribable or not even understandable. And yet, each one of these people made even in your image. There's a cry for help. And the psalmist says, I look up to the sky and where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. So Lord God, put into these people a yearning to know more about you, a yearning to find out from Christians, from believers, about you. And pray, Lord God, that each one of us would step up to the mark and be ready to tell our story. Be ready to demonstrate your love. Ready to fly the banner. To make your love known to others. Now, I'm also aware that God can turn things and change things. So when people, for example, think that they are safe and they are not safe, so I'm going to just go to the Bible Gateway, and we have more of the scriptures to read out. Isaiah 30, verse 17. Now there's a scripture here about 1,000 fleeing at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away until you are left like a flagstaff on a mountain. But that particular text isn't referring to God's favor. It's more like referring to God's disfavor. Just as God can make things go well, God can also turn things the other way. And I will read from Isaiah 30. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in Zoan, and their envoys have arrived in Hanis, everyone will be put to shame, because of a people useless to them, who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace. A prophecy concerning the animals of the Negev. Through a land of hardship and distress, of lions and lionesses, of adders and darting snakes, the envoys carry their riches on donkeys' backs, their treasures on the humps of camels, to that unprofitable nation, to Egypt, whose help is utterly useless. Therefore I call her Rahab the do-nothing. Go now and write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, because you have rejected my message, relied on oppression and depended on deceit. This sin will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found. For taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. A thousand will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away until you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold, and you will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. He will also send you rain for the seed. You will sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash spread out with a fork and shovel. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the moon, like the light of seven full days, when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds he inflicted. See, the name of the Lord comes from afar, with burning anger and dense clouds of smoke. His lips are full of wrath, and his tongue is a consuming fire. His breath is like a rushing torrent rising up to the neck. He shakes the nations in the sieve of destruction. He places the jaws of the people a bit that leads them astray. And you will sing as on the night you celebrate a holy festival. Your hearts will rejoice as when the people playing pipes go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. The Lord will cause people to hear his majestic voice and will make them see his arm come down with raging anger and consuming fire, with cloudburst, thunderstorm and hail. The voice of the Lord will shatter Israel. With his rock he will strike them down. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with his punishing club will be to the music of timbrels and harps, as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. Topheth has long been prepared. It has been made ready for the king. Its fire pit has been made deep and wide with abundance of fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of burning sulphur, sets it ablaze. Now, firstly, thanks to God for that word. And it is a long piece, a long scripture. And all I can do is to pray right now. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I've read that out in faith and pray, Lord, that in the context of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, a Lord who longs to be gracious, a Lord who longs to help his people, yet a God who is holy and righteous. Help myself and each and every one of our listeners to understand this scripture in the context we are using it in, to describe you so that people will get an impression of who you are and indeed who they can be in you. Lord, your word tells us in so many cases that, Lord, you want the best for each one of us. But yet, Lord, in the Old Testament, particularly in this scripture, we read of how you do not tolerate when people do go astray and you long for them to come back. That was in the Old Testament, and in this New Testament, the New Covenant that was made possible by your Son, Jesus Christ, each one of us is actually responsible for ourselves. Each one of us, if we make that profession of faith, we keep seeking you as Lord and Saviour. You give us life. You give us salvation. You enable us to live for you. You are a banner for us. And Lord God, that other people would see that banner. Just in this time as well, listeners, I'm reminded of another scripture that seems to be very scripture rich, this particular program. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I'll read that again. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, how through your word today we've been able to discover more about you. But when we think about all that is going on in the world, in our lives, in our communities, it's difficult to relate what we have been speaking about, Lord, to what is going on. Help us all in these coming times so that we will be able to relate your word clearly to what is going on in our communities, in this world, in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. This is Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. This programme is the Power Hour. Power Hour is about applying God's word in prayer. Prayer is speaking to God. And as we've been doing tonight, coming round the very large subject of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, we've used some scriptures. And there's a lot of scriptures having been used, and it's easy for people to be a little bit confused. But perhaps two scriptures stand out the most. Exodus 17 verse 15. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." And 2 Kings 6 verse 17. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. And so we know, Lord, that it's not just about a banner, but it's about you as Lord of hosts, who spreads that banner over us, a banner that is of love, a banner that represents you, your whole being, your spirit, and indeed all of those who are within your command. We may not be able to see them with our own eyes, listeners, but I'm very sure that they are there. I'm very sure that they were with me today, and that they are with me right now, even as I'm speaking. May that be the same for you, listeners, to make the choice to say, "As for me, serve the Lord," and have not only salvation, but through Christ, a living a relationship with a living God, a God who is the Lord of heaven's armies, a God who spreads his banner over us in a most wonderful way. A banner of love, yes, but a banner that tells us who God is. And I don't really think, listeners, that we could really do enough justice to this. But in this program, we've given you a taste of who God is. The Lord, my banner, Jehovah Nissi. Now, this program will be transmitted again, God willing, on next week. We'll be transmitting it again next Friday evening, but also on Saturdays, next two Saturdays, will be 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. and also on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you'll be able to listen to this program again, also as a podcast. This is Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. We're going out with some great music from Billy Graham and some more wonderful music, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
My name's David, And I'd like to really thank God for just how much He's given my wife and I some real wisdom and strength and patience through some really difficult times that we've been going through recently. He's a wonderful God.
In your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, you are my portion. In your presence is mercy and love. Lord, you are my God. I will bless you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord. I will worship you. Voices unto him.